It's time for the truth. Will you join me in studying the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in Jesus? It's a wonderful day. I'm glad that you've joined us today as we study the precious Word. I ask that you would open your Bibles today to the book of Jonah. We are continuing the study. We had started something last week. We're going to try to finish it this week, and that is whether Jonah's alive or dead. Now, I know that brings a lot of questions. And if you keep company of folks that think when Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and he remained alive, and it was a miracle that God keep him alive, you're amongst probably pretty good company. If you believe that he died and Jesus brought him back to life again for the purpose of fulfilling the mission he was sent to do, you're also in pretty good company. You listen to the scripture verses today as we visit and fellowship over this. I'd like to share with you while you're looking that up, again, Jonah chapter 2. I don't know if I finished that. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we're going to read to begin with. We'll probably start with the 17th verse of chapter 1. I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to share with you that we believe in the local church. You need to be in church. I hope that you're not one to sit around and sleep in on Sunday morning. You need to get up and get to church. We have church services on Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:35 for church service. You need to be at Sunday school. That's not just a kids program. I believe in the adult Sunday school class. And if you're you need to be up and study the precious word. The adult Sunday school class should be the biggest class that you have in your church. I hope that you are preparing right now and going to be in church this week, whether it be Sunday morning for Sunday school and church, and maybe you've got Bible studies through the week. We sure do. At 9:30 we've got Sunday school, 10:35 we have church. Sunday night we have Bible study at 7 o'clock. We're studying the book of Isaiah. And if you don't have services on Sunday night, please come and visit. I don't want to take you away from your church, but if you don't have anything, please come. If you don't have a church, you come and visit us, because you'll learn to love these folks here. They're sweet folks, and they love the Lord Jesus, and we love to preach the Word of God that folks be saved. We go on through the week at 1 o'clock. We have a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon, then at Wednesday we have at 7 o'clock we have a Bible study back here at church with the book of Numbers. And we've just arrived back at the Promised Land after the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. And so please that you would come and be with us. We study all the different areas of the verse of Scripture. And please, I've been preaching out of 1 Peter. If you would, on Sunday morning, please just come and visit us, if you would, and tell other folks about the radio program at 9:30. If you enjoy it, why, tell other folks to listen in as well. It's important that we are in the house of God, as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Please, you be in the house of God. Don't sit there and think you're going to read the paper, you're going to watch a little television this morning. Don't use this excuse. It's the reason we're on the time we're on, not to take you away from your church, but to help you to study the Word of God. Now, it's important that we look at the Word of God, search the Word of God, and I'd like to invite you now to join me as I read these few verses this morning. Jonah chapter 1, we'll be reading the 17th verse, and then the first two verses of chapter 2. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord and his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of Sheol cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I thank you that we can come together. I ask that you will help to keep upon the truth, upon the Word of God, that we'll search these many scriptures today, and that you'll confirm in our hearts the truth. That's the reason, Father, that we call this program The Truth, is because we try, as by the leadership of your Holy Spirit, to stay upon the Word of God and go verse by verse and let that precious Word touch and penetrate the hearts of each and every listener. So I ask now, Father, that you will touch that heart, that you'll bring them to you, that they'll ask you to be your Savior, that they'll see their sin and be convicted with their sin and turn to you. And if they are already a child of God, they have been saved, I ask that you would lead them, Father, in this precious word, that they may grow and again come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us now as we study this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, the sweet word. You know, as we left off last week, and I sure hope that you listened last week, because if you didn't listen last week, you missed a blessing. And if you listened last week and you left somewhat confused, it's difficult to go through a subject like this, and you think, well, Larry, it's just a verse of Scripture. How can you not cover it in 30 minutes? Well, I can't. And so now we're back, and so we're going to continue the study. And I would like to start maybe in kind of a strange place, because we read out of the book of Luke last week, out of Luke chapter 16, and in reading about the rich man and Lazarus. And we talked about where the dead, before Jesus went to the cross, where the dead would go, where their soul went. I don't ever want you to think that the soul just goes to sleep and is allowed to be kind of dormant. And then upon a appointed time, well, then it's awakened and taken home or something like that. The soul is always awake and very much alive. Now, the soul and body separate. Your body goes into the grave. If you die today, if you have up until this time, the only time that the people are not going to face death or the grave is if Jesus will come before that time. And when Jesus comes, and I sure hope he comes in my lifetime, because I don't want to have a funeral. I don't want anybody to have to come out to the graveyard and spend the money to put my body in the grave. I don't want that. I'd rather that money be spent to reach somebody for Jesus. I hope, my dear friend, that you're know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the Scripture says in a twinkling of an eye, the trump will sound. And those that know Jesus, those that are saved, those that have come by faith to Jesus, that have went into the grave, those graves will be opened. But if you and I are alive and we know Jesus, then we will follow them and forever be with the Lord. And we're to comfort one another with those words, to whether we go into the grave or not. But you know, as we look at the Scripture now, and before Jesus, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and finished the work of redemption, it's always been the heart of God. He has always known what he was going to do, and all the pictures we have all through the Old Testament is that time was coming. But 2,000 years ago, it took place. And after that time, then those that die without Jesus still go to the same place, a place called Hades, a place in the center of the earth. Those that know Jesus and die, their soul immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to try to clear a couple things up. A lot of people make a statement, you know, that you die, if you die without Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. I make that statement. But you know, when we look at the Scripture, and it calls it the lake of fire, and right now there is no one in what we would call hell. We need to call it the lake of fire, and it's empty right now. Now, hell or Hades, Sheol, that's where all that have died without Jesus, from the beginning of time to now, anyone that has died without Jesus is in a place called Sheol, the pit, the Hades, hell. All these words have been kind of interchanged with each other. But we think that when someone dies without Jesus, that they would go immediately into the place they're going to spend eternity. Well, I'd like to read for you some verses of Scripture, and beginning with Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to read the 20th verse. Now, you need to back up and read these verses, but Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, tells us of the very first occupants that will be placed into what we call hell, or the lake of fire. I'm going to read the 20th verse. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. Though these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Okay, those are that's the first occupants, those first that go in to the lake of fire, or a place that we call hell. Now let's follow up on that. Let's see who the next ones that follow suit. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we find the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Let's continue. See who comes and follows after that. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Remember here, as I'm reading this, we find two. There were books that were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. We're going to talk about that in a minute. I want to make note of that. And continuing now. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And listen to verse 15 very carefully, because if you don't know Jesus, this is where you'll end up. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's what's going to happen as it tells us in verse 11, the great white throne, and many people add the word judgment, the great white throne judgment. That's what's going to happen then. Now, so you see what we call hell, the eternal home of the lost. And if you don't know Jesus, that's where you're going to end up. We need to really call it the lake of fire. Because the place where you would go right now, if you don't know Jesus, and I can't tell you, I can't stress this enough, if you don't know Jesus, there's a place where you're going to go. It's a place of torment, and we're going to talk about that again because we're going to get back to Jonah and into the 16th chapter of Luke in a minute. But as we look at that, we find a place of torment, a place of fire, a place of great heat. And that's where every person that does not come to Jesus. Oh, I beg you, I plead with you that you come to Jesus. Husband, come to Jesus today. Man, you don't know what you're missing. You must come to Jesus and be saved. If you hear these words today and your heart is touched and convicted, you just need to turn to that calling of the Holy Spirit, because that's what His Word's doing, and you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. Don't let anyone tell you that you can be eliminated just by a choice, that God is not ever going to allow you to be saved, because every person, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. And I ask you that you come to Jesus today and that you trust in that cross of Calvary. Because you see, Jesus died on the cross so that you could not face any of this. This is the step that every one of us should have had. Every one of us should be facing this end destruction and end torment. And it's for eternity. It said forever and ever. This is the second death. Now, the thing that was said earlier in these verses is that the books were opened and the book was opened. If you have not come by faith to Jesus, every act you have performed is written down. And there are volumes of those written down in those books. Those books will be opened. And you know, if you want to take your chances and stand before a righteous God by your works, they will be opened. You'll have that opportunity. But they're going to be found to be as filthy rags. The only way is if the book is open and your name is written down in the book of life. And your name must be recorded there, and it can be recorded there if you'll come by faith to Jesus. You need to meet him at the cross of Calvary, because 2,000 years ago, he finished a work that has been in the mind of God forever, in the heart of God forever, that he would redeem those that would come by faith to him. And he calls us as chosen people. Oh, to be one of the elect. And to be one of the elect is to come by faith to Jesus. He knows, as he looks down through time, who is and who is not going to come to him. He knows that, but it's still your choice, your free will to come. Now please meet him at the cross, because he died upon that cross at your sins, that these books of volumes of things that you're doing, that those can be wiped clean, and your name can be written in that special place, on that special line in the book of life. And if it's recorded in there, and it will be the day you come by faith to Jesus, meet him at the cross of Calvary, where he offered his life, everything, every sin you've committed, he offered his life to take all those things and to take your place. And by doing that, it sets you free. But you've got to receive the gift of salvation, that free gift of eternal life. Please, that you come to Jesus, that your name be written down, because I'll tell you, in verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, this rich man that we have back in Luke chapter 16, this rich man, we find, and I'm just going to read a couple verses here. We read this whole section last week in Luke chapter 16. It started with verse 19. There was a certain rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And then it started with the beggar, which just desired to things the crumbs from his table, and also that he would let the dogs, this man dogs, just lick his sores. And then it tells us that the rich man died and was buried. And it tells us that also Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into the presence of Abraham's bosom. Now, verse 25, when there was a discussion that went on between the rich man and Abraham. Now, I want you to see that this place is not the lake of fire. That's the last judgment. That's the second death. That hasn't taken place yet, nor has it taken place now. There's a holding room, a holding tank, a place where everyone that dies that does not know Jesus, they go into. And we're told here in verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he, being Lazarus, he is comforted, but thou art tormented," the rich man. Is that where you're at? Is that the position that you're in today? You've done very well. You know, most families, both the husband and the wife work, because you need to make money. You need to have this living. You need to have this nice car. You need to have this nice home. You need to have this nice boat. You need to fix the house up. You need to do all these wonderful things. So both of you work. With both of you working, you have destroyed the family. Now, a lot of you are not going to like that. But I'm telling you, my friend, that we need to care for our children. And mother, there is nothing more important than you can do than raise your children to know and to love Jesus. And you can't do that working 8 hours a day. Forget that second car. Drive that old truck. Forget about fixing the house up right now. It'll come. Be happy and praise the Lord Jesus. There's nothing more important. You can have a castle to live in, and your children can be a mess. And they're going to be, if you pay more attention to that house and that car and that boat than you do your children. So, well, I'm fixing it up for them. No, you're not. You're doing it for yourself. I want you to look, because I'll tell you what, your children are going to die and burn in hell. Now, we're going to call the lake of fire. They're going to go into this place of torment first, the place that's in the center of the earth. Maybe you're saved, so you're not caring about it. What's the matter with you? Don't you love your children? Well, then you tell them about Jesus. You forget about all these material things that are so important with you. Maybe you can lose that second job you're trying to carry so you can have all these nice things. Get yourself in the house of God. You yourself need to repent and come. Oh, maybe you're already saved, but you need to definitely repent. Turn your eyes back upon Jesus, the very Christ that saved you. Please that you look that way. This man here, there was two places, a place of comfort and a place of torment. Now, we have looked at what happens because at the, as it said in the 11th verse of chapter 20 of Revelation, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, which is Jesus, the judge. You see, it's Jesus, the Savior and Lord of my life. But if you don't know Jesus, if you don't come by faith to him now, and you slip off into eternity, you're not going to transfer from one side to the other because Abraham tells us you can't do that. When you die, you go into the place that you'll be there until the judgment, but you can't cross from the good side to the bad side. You can't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, God, I should have served you, I should have trusted you, Jesus," and then he lets you slip over. Once you die, your place is forever set to whether it's heaven or hell. That has been from the very beginning. Never once has it been changed that a person went to hell and was able to change, because there's a change after. We're not talking about this special place that the saved went to before Jesus went to the cross to be purgatory. Purgatory doesn't exist. It's man-made, something that somebody thought sounded good. You cannot back it in the Scripture. The Word of God doesn't speak of it at all. I'm not talking about a place where you go and then they pray you up. I'm talking about a place that they went to and awaited Jesus to go to the cross. That was the saved side. The lost side, which it says a great gulf between, as it says in the Scripture. Let me just read down through the 26th verse here in Luke 16. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence. You can't go from one side to the other. So when you die, that's where you go. Those that go into the lost side are still there today, I repeat, are still there today, and they will be until the great white throne. Upon that time, they will be taken out of that pit, that what we call hell, what we call Hades, Sheol, the center of the earth. They'll be taken from that place of holding and brought before the judge and judged, and judgment will be stated that you did not trust in me, you did not, and they'll go down through these books. All these books, and you'll be reminded every time that you heard on this radio program, Jesus saves, and you need to come by faith to Jesus. You'll be reminded of that every time, every act, every time you heard the gospel presented, you'll be reminded of that, and it'll be a torment to you. Oh, I beg you to come to Jesus, not to go through that. You'll go into that place of holding if you die today, and you'll stay there till the great white throne, and upon that time, then you'll be judged. And I've told you of the occupants that'll be there before you, but no one is there today. Now, as that has taken place, let's go back to the side of the saved, the side of those folks that trusted in Jesus. They are a place of comfort, as verse 25 tells us about Lazarus. The rich man was comforted through this lifetime with his wealth, but now he's in torment. Lazarus, on the other side, was very poor and a beggar and had nothing, but now he's in comfort. I'm looking for that time of comfort. I'm not building my throne, my castle, everything down here. I'm building up there. Then why don't you please get away from all this busyness that you're trying to do, and you're forsaking the house of God. You're forsaking the Word of God. Oh, you've got the most beautiful home in the world, the most beautiful garden in the world, the most beautiful car in the world. You've got all these things. You've got the biggest boat. What about your soul? What about your children's soul? What about your grandchildren's soul? What about your friend's soul that's a neighbor to you that looks at you? They're envious of what you have. Well, my friend, you need Jesus. And if you've got Jesus, you need to repent and come get your eyes turned to Him and start studying His Word, because you're not in His will. Now please, as you look at the side now of the man that went to the place of comfort, Abraham's bosom, as is said here, we have in Luke 23:43, the Lord Jesus told the thief on the cross. When he had turned and was saved, the thief on the cross turned to Jesus and said, "We deserve what we have. Please, would you remember me?" And Jesus said, "Today, I will be with you in paradise." I believe that to be the same place. I believe Jesus, when he died, his soul went into the place where all these saved people have been from the beginning of time. And I believe that Jesus emptied that out when he went home. And we've got verses of Scripture to confirm that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. I've got a verse of Scripture here in Acts that I'd like to read for you first. Now, I'm going to get back to Jonah, and I know we're running out of time again. But we need to look at where everybody, we have a place of holding, so to speak, but a place of comfort, a place of joy, a place of peace that the saved went to before Jesus finished the work on the cross. And then upon that time, he took those folks. Nobody descended from or left from one side to the other. If you went to the holding place of the lost, you stayed there. If you went to the holding place of the saved, you stayed there. Now those that are in the lost side, they're still there. But those that are saved, they're not there any longer. They're in the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 31. "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this, therefore, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell," again in Sheol, in the center of the earth, Hades, Sheol, the pit even is referred to it, but it's a place, and again, there were sections of the saved and of the lost. It's not the same. One is a place of comfort, the other is a place of torment. But that his soul was not left there. He went there upon dying on the cross. "Neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses." We praise the Lord for verses like that. Let's go now to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, he quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." I believe he went down to fellowship with those on the side of the saved. He continued to comfort them. He said, "It's finished. It's finished." Wouldn't that be great? Verse 20, "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." You know, as they go down into the place of, again, what they call Hades, Sheol, there are two sections. Now, Ephesians 4, 8 and 10. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and 10. "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things." That's when he took everyone home, and they're in the presence of Jesus right now. Now, there's a place in the center of the earth. Now, you're going to find this place of hell, this place of Sheol, is the same that we're talking about in verse 2 of Jonah, and we didn't even get there, and we're out of time. My friend, it's a joy to talk about the Word of God, but I don't want you to end up in the lake of fire. I don't want you in the place of torment. So, my friend, as we come back next week and continue this, what are you going to do about Jesus?